This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
I probably have brought these scriptures out here before, but in a different context maybe, but I probably couldn't pick a better set of scriptures than in Matthew 9, 35 through 38 about the ministry of Jesus and what he did and what he's really shown us to do as now we are to continue the ministry of Jesus. So let me pray with you. Father, we thank you again for today. Lord, I thank you, God, for this full flame film series that we have begun, Lord. Father, I pray that truly we would become passionate for you and for people, Lord, for the lost ones, Lord, that God, we would make a difference, Lord. I pray during these weeks to come, even as today, Lord, we share about your Son, Lord, that you would just do something new and fresh, and Lord, a fresh fire would be birthed in every one of us here today, that Lord, we would be the instruments that you would use in these last days to evangelize our world, Lord. I pray that each one of us would see the seriousness and the importance of what we're about to talk about today, Lord. I ask God for your blessing on this word. Let every ear hear what you would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 35 of Matthew 9 through 38. I'm just going to read through and then we'll comment a little bit. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Amen. Today I want to just speak a little bit about, again, the ministry of Jesus. What did his ministry encompass? What, if we were to just nail it down to a couple things that Jesus did, he did many things, but in these verses we really see concentrated what Jesus did day by day when he lived here on earth. And basically his ministry was made up of three things, okay? Three things Jesus did that we can pattern ourselves from. And as you look at verse 35, it said that Jesus, he went about all the cities and villages, and number one, he was teaching in their synagogues. Did you notice first he said that he was teaching? Amen? How many know today that we must be a people that are taught? Amen? We must know the truth. We must be able to apply the Word of God. We must be a people that have been taught by the Word of God. And number one, he said here that Jesus, he went everywhere, in all the cities, all the villages round about, teaching in the synagogues. Okay? So today we know we're supposed to be teaching in our churches. Amen? Every time when we come, we should get some kind of teaching. Yes, preaching is fine, and that's part of what Jesus did. We're going to talk about it also briefly here. But I want you to realize that it said, first of all, that we need to have teaching in the church. How many know when you are taught, you receive understanding? Amen? You must understand the Word of God. You must be able to apply the Word of God to your life. You must be able to be taught under the Word of God. And when Jesus walked this earth for 3.5 years, that's what he did. He went everywhere, those who would receive him, but he went in the synagogues, which would be like coming in our churches today. And number one, he taught the Word of God. So this is why we do what we do here in church. Number two, he said he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There's a place for teaching And there's a place for preaching and preaching the gospel. How many know that the gospel means good news today? Amen? We're to preach what? Good news, not the 10 o'clock news. Amen? Or the 7 a.m. news, all right? Because usually that news is not good news, but we're to preach the good news that Jesus saves. Amen? Jesus delivers today. Hallelujah. Are you coming with me on this road today? Jesus heals today. Jesus can set you free today. Amen? Jesus will transform your life if you want Him to today. That's good news today, church. Amen? And that's what Jesus did. He went about not only teaching, but He also went preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which is good news today. Amen. Let's be careful that when we go and share with people and are preaching the people and are teaching people, it's that we're preaching the good news, not our news. Amen. You know, because a lot of times our news is not good news today. Amen. Our news will turn people off. Amen. But this news, and this news is right on time. How many know that today? It doesn't matter. It's been around for years. I mean, it's hitting home right now like when it was first penned by the apostles and disciples of way back over 2,000 years ago. Amen. It's good news. Amen. And how many know people need good news today? I need good news. Amen. I mean, we need to be a people that have something good to say to others. And we do. That's the gospel today. So Jesus went about proclaiming and preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. That's not all He did, though. He says also in that one verse, I mean, all of this is in one verse. It's tremendous how it was penned. He said, then He also went healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen. How many know we need that healing to go forth today also? Amen? We need that healing touch of Jesus to go forth. People need to be healed everywhere. Amen? And He's not only talking about here healing every sickness or disease, every physical sickness or disease, but we also need spiritual healing today. Amen? We need spiritual healing. Many people need to be healed spiritually. Many need to be healed emotionally today. Amen? That all is encompassed in what He said here, this healing that Jesus brought to the people and still brings to the people today in 2007, the year that we're living in. So the healing that Jesus brings is to complete healing of the whole spirit, soul, and body of man today. He's here to minister us however we may need. It may be mental today. We need healing mentally today. I mean, all you got to do is walk out these doors and go to work or go to the store or just listen to the news and you see how great the need is in our world today. Amen? How we need healing of the spirit, soul, and body. Well, that's what Jesus came to do when He came and lived and moved and had His way for 2.5 years. And another word that I penned and wrote down because it's part of when we talk about healing today is deliverance. Amen? People need to be delivered of things today. Amen? People need to be set free of things today. That's part of the healing that Jesus brought to the people and that we need to bring to people today. Yes, we don't do the healing. He does the healing. But God wants to use us as His vessels today. Amen? He wants to flow in you and out of you to touch people. Just like those people that were in that sea who were struggling to try to be made, you know, to be brought to a boat, who needed someone to reach out to them. We need to be that helping hand today. That one who, because we have the good news, we have the truth, we can give it to people who want it today. Amen? God is looking to us to do it. He could do it in a moment's time, but that's not God's plan today. He wants us to be doing the work of Jesus today. He patterned and modeled for us what ministry was all about. The question is, are we willing to be involved in this ministry? You know, this was his ministry, but it's our ministry today too. Amen? It's the church's ministry. It's the church's mission today and vision to reach out to this world and be effective. I ask you though today, as we reread these scriptures here with Jesus, what motivated Jesus? Okay? What motivated Jesus to go out and teach and preach and heal? You know, what was the motivation behind all that Jesus did? And what's our motivation today? You know, what motivates you to be with God today? What motivates you to do the work of the kingdom? Well, there has to be something behind that. As we saw this video, you could see there were many who were not motivated when there was a need. Amen? I mean, people were in dire danger and people needed to be rescued, but those supposed Christian in that one room who were supposed to have church, they didn't seem too motivated by people dying right near them. Amen? And today we could be the same way. We could be in our own world today, just coming to church and living our life and, yes, praising God and loving the Lord, but not be motivated by what's happening outside. We could get in our own little world if we're not careful today. Amen? But Jesus was motivated. Something motivated Jesus. Well, it's right here, church. Look at verse 36. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes," meaning Jesus, he saw the multitudes of people. It says here, "he was moved with compassion." Oh my God. "He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus was motivated by compassion today. Amen? Jesus looked to the multitudes. He saw the Amplified Bible says the throngs of people that were round about. When he saw the people, he was motivated with compassion. The Bible, in the Amplified Bible, compassion is defined as having pity or sympathy for people. Let me ask us today, do we have compassion for those who are lost? Do we, and I don't know if I like that word pity so much, even though that may be a definition, but I like the word more, maybe sympathy. Do we have sympathy for those who are lost today? Do we pity them, meaning do we care that they're hurting today, that they're going to hell today? This very moment, people are dying in the hospitals, all over in homes, and they don't know Jesus. Does that bother you today, church? It should, amen? It should bother me and you. And what's going to motivate us like it motivated Jesus was having a compassionate heart, amen? Meaning, I care, praise God. Aren't you thankful today Jesus cared for you and me? If he didn't care, we wouldn't be here today, amen? Only a few of those people in that big ship cared that there were people outside in the sea that were dying. Only a few cared. And you know what? If we look on the whole in the church today, probably it's a small percentage of church folk that really care about what's going on outside the church. Amen? We need all of us to say, I'm a part of that rescue team. Amen? I'm going to be part of that one that will help rescue some souls for the kingdom. Amen. But you know what? If you don't have the compassion of Jesus today, you won't care either. You'll get caught up in your own world, doing your own thing, making sure your life is okay, while others are dying and going to hell every day. Compassion. Jesus had this compassion. I like what the Amplified Bible says when it talks about why he had compassion on these people. These people were people that were fainting. They were scattered, the Bible says in the King James. They were sheep without a shepherd. Listen to what this is a little bit of the Amplified Bible. It says that these people were bewildered. Okay? They were bewildered, which means they were people who were harassed. They were people who were distressed. They were dejected people. They were people who were helpless, and they were people who had no shepherd. Amen? They were people without what? A leader. Aren't you thankful today we got a shepherd? Amen? He's the good shepherd. Praise God. His name is Jesus. Amen? And He leads us and guides us every day. He's the shepherd of our souls. Amen? I'm really not your shepherd today. They call a pastor an under-shepherd, but he's the real shepherd. Amen? You know, I'm just trying to do the work of Jesus to help you and encourage you and strengthen you in the faith, but really he's the shepherd today. Amen? And Jesus, when he looked and saw these people, how they were confused and lost and they had no direction. Amen? They had no hope. He had compassion on them. Amen. He cared because of what he saw. Do we care today, church? Do we, when we see a multitude of people, when we see a lot of people, do we get moved with compassion? You know, do we want to do something because of what we see? Let me ask you this. When you saw the massacre Monday in Virginia with this college, amen, how 32 young people were just killed for no reason. Did you have compassion? Amen? You should have automatically said, oh my God, your heart sympathizes, right? Not only for those who were killed, but now for the families of those who have passed on, for that whole college and how they must regroup and come together for this devastation, the worst massacre of history, from what I've heard, took place this past Monday. Did that move you? Did that bring compassion to your heart? It should have, amen? It should have made you say, oh Lord, to pray for them. Lord, help them. You know, Lord, bring good out of this evil. You know, something should have motivated you, should have stirred you when you saw that tragedy, amen? Well, just think. People are dying every day. People are lost every day. People are leaving this world every day, and they don't know Jesus. What are we doing about it? Praise God. Do we see these people that are weak? Just look out. Amen? Do we see people that are confused and depressed? They're all around us, church. Amen? Do we see people that have no direction or purpose in life? Just look around. Amen? They're all around us. They're all around us. And they're in that position today because they don't have Jesus. Amen? They're lost and without direction and don't know where they're going because they have no shepherd. But we got a shepherd today. Amen? We have direction today. Amen? We know where we're headed. Amen? We know what this life is all about. We have purpose. Why? Because we have the shepherd today. Amen? But many people don't today. They really don't. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures quickly here. Matthew 14:14 says this, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." In this chapter, we read about how Jesus ministered to the 5,000, which our brother Carlos shared about last Sunday. Amen? He had what? Compassion on the multitudes. That's why he ministered to them and tried to meet them where they were in their need today. He was moved with compassion. Another place that we see Jesus moving in this compassion is in Matthew 15, verses 30 to 32. I want to read that to you also this morning. It's right there from where we've been reading. In verses 30 to 32, it says this. It says, "And great multitudes came unto him, Jesus, having with them those that were lame," praise God, "blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." There we go. We see the ministry of Jesus. "Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, praise God, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Verse 32 says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. This was the time when there was 4,000 that Jesus fed with the 12 disciples. Why did he do that? He cared. Amen. He had compassion for the multitudes. Amen. He cared about seeing people who were in need. He knew he was sent on earth to be an answer for people. And today, we have that answer. We have that truth that can change lives today. Amen. Sometimes I don't think we realize how blessed we are. Amen. How God has shown so much grace to me and you, because there's many today who are not in church, who do not know Jesus as their Savior, and they don't know what's going on tomorrow. Amen? But today we have life because God has opened our eyes. Amen? He has shown His light to us. The truth of His Word has been brought to us, and our ears have been opened to receive truth in our life. But many people are not there today. Let me read you a better definition today of compassion that is from the dictionary. This really hits home. It says that compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune. Let me read that again. It is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune. But it doesn't stop there. Listen to this part. It says, it is accompanied by a desire to alleviate the pain or to remove its cause. Did you get that today, church? It doesn't mean that you just have a warm sympathy and a love for those who are hurting today, for those who are struggling, for those who are lost. But it causes you to have a desire to alleviate the pain, to try to get rid of the cause of that pain today. Amen? Which means it causes you to do something for someone. Amen? It doesn't just mean that you feel sorry for someone and you say, oh, I feel bad for you, but you try to help change that situation. Amen? You will make a difference in somebody's life today. Amen? That's what true compassion is today. That was the compassion that Jesus had. The disciples didn't even understand it. Do we today? If you have that compassion today, it'll cause you to do something for someone. Amen. And really, this word compassion comes from a smaller word that's right in there. And you hear me saying it all the time, is passion. Amen. Passion. Praise God. The word passion, this is what the word passion means. It's any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling of strong affection or love. Hallelujah. Let me say that to you again. Compassion is any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling or strong affection or love. Amen? Passion. Jesus had passion. Amen? Do you got passion today? Hallelujah. Let me ask you, what is your passion today? What drives you today? Amen. What is your passion? Jesus had compassion on people and for people, but He had that because He had a passion to help people. Amen. He had a passion for the lost. He cared. So that passion broke into compassion for people. Ooh, passion. We must have it today. Do we have that type of Jesus passion today? We must. There's no doubt about it. All of us must have it. Not just the pastor or the praise team or the leadership or the teachers in the church. All of us must have a passion as Jesus did. Not only for God, let me say first. We must have a passion for God. Amen? To love God and serve God and live for God, but a passion to give what God gives us to those who are in need now. Amen? You know, we can't be a people that just says, gimme, 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 and don't want to give it out now, right? We can't be that type of a greedy people. Amen? We can't have a greedy spirit when it comes to the things of God. What God gives us, just as He gives us freely, the Word says, freely I've given you, what? Freely you give it now. Amen? We didn't have to pay for what God gave us today. Amen? It's free. Oh, hallelujah. It's free. Listen to what Jesus said to His disciples in 37 of chapter 9 of Matthew. He said, "Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Jesus told His disciples, and He's telling us today, you know what? The harvest is great. How many know that today? Amen? The harvest is white. Praise God. It's ready to be reaped in. Amen? But nothing's changed from the time of Jesus to today. The laborers seem to be few. Amen. So Jesus is saying to His disciples, He's saying to us, you know what? You need to pray to the Lord of the harvest, which is of course Jesus, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And you know what? I challenge you today as you begin to pray this prayer, that Lord, You would send laborers. I'm going to challenge you and tell you this. As you begin to pray this prayer, God is going to tell you to go. Oh, some of you didn't get that today. Amen. As you begin to pray, Lord, please be faithful. Send us laborers here at Oriole. You know what? God's going to begin to stir you. Amen. He's going to begin to tell you to go and serve in Oriole Christian Assembly. Amen. As you're praying for others to come, God's going to say, I want you to go. Amen. I want you to serve. Amen. I want you to be involved in ministry with the leadership here. I want you to have a compassion and a passion for the lost. You will make a difference if you care today, church. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. All of us need to be involved. Praise God. I like the Amplified Bible. The last part is this verse where it says that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. It's really said this way in the Amplified Bible. It's totally different. He says that He will force out and thrust laborers into the harvest. When you begin to pray, God, send forth laborers, the Lord is going to not only send you, but He says with force here, He's going to force you out and thrust you out as a laborer. Meaning the Spirit of God is going to push you to go out, amen, and be a doer and not only a hearer of the Word of God, amen. He's going to put that passion in you and that compassion that He's going to send you out there in the harvest fields to bring them in, amen. That's what will happen when you say, yes, Lord, use me, hallelujah. I need you to know today that this is the true heart of the Father today, what we're talking about. This is the heart of our Father God and of Jesus today. And I want to close with just these last couple verses. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 2, and I'm going to close today. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read just a couple verses. Chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 in 1 Timothy 2. And this is the will of God today, okay? This is what God wants, what we're about to read. This is what the harvest is all about. This is needs to be our focus today as it is the Lord's. In verse 4 He says, in 1 Timothy 2, "...who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." This is God's will, church. "...for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. "...who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." God's will today is that what? All men would be saved. Amen? That all men would come to the knowledge of the truth like you and me today. Praise God. So that must be our desire today also. That must be our motivation today also that we want to see all men saved. Amen. We want to see all men come to the knowledge, here it is, the knowledge of truth, which is Jesus. Amen. Now, does that mean that everybody's going to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? Does that mean everybody's going to want to walk this Christian walk that we're walking today? No. But that's not our responsibility today. Our responsibility is to bring what? The good news. Amen? Is to share the good news with people. To let people know, you know what? There's a way out for you today. There's light at the end of the tunnel for you today. You don't have to live a life that's miserable. You don't have to live a life that's full of sin. You can be set free from that today. Amen. Amen. That's our calling today. So my prayer as your pastor is in these next 7 to 8 weeks that God will ignite a full flame in us. A full flame of what? Passion for the lost, like never before. That everywhere we go, we're looking for opportunities to talk to people about Jesus, to invite them to come and hear about this Jesus that we love and serve. That something will be stirred up inside of you. Many of us have it already, but I'm believing God to stir it to a greater capacity in the weeks to come. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Amen. I want you to stand with me today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is serious business, church. Serious business. The lives of people are in our hands. What are we going to do with them? I ask us today. God has given us the responsibility to reach out to the harvest. How faithful we will be today. That's what I want you to think about. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray that God would just do a new work in us, would ignite us. God would bring us together as a church like never before. And you need to know this, as God is beginning to work and do things here, you know what? The devil's not happy. And he's going to continue to try to throw curves at us. He's going to continue to try to put assignments on us, to get us down, to come against one another. I'm telling you, church, be wise to the strategies of the enemy today. Do not be deceived by what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to use you to mess up the will of God here and break the unity that we have here. Who, me? Yeah, you, if you let him today. Be wise, okay? Watch what you speak to your brother and sister. Watch what you do, okay? We're a family here. We're to encourage each other and love one another and help one another. Yeah, sometimes we may have to say something to you that you may not like, but you know what? You need to receive from the Lord, okay? If you have a hard time with something that sometimes comes forth, pray about it. Say, Lord, help me with this, okay? We're in this together. Nobody is against anybody here. But the enemy wants you to think that. So as your pastor, I'm telling you to be wise as serpents, the Bible says. Amen? But be as gentle as doves. We're here to build the kingdom of God. Nothing else. So let's be smart. Let's be clever. Because the devil's all around trying to get in. If we let him, we just rebuke him today in the name of Jesus. We bind his work and he will not come in here and destroy the work of God. Okay? This is God's house. Amen? This is his house and we are his people. Praise God. So let's work together. Let's flow in what God is saying here to see fruit come forth. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for you're so good to us today, Lord. Lord, I ask God that the passion, the compassion of your Son Jesus would come right now afresh and anew on this flock, Lord, and on the leadership here, Lord God. That, Lord, we would truly have a desire and have a caring for those who are lost today, Lord. Those who are headed, Lord, to hell today, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let, Lord, a passion for evangelism come upon this church, Lord, like never before, Lord. That, Lord, we would see new souls come in, Lord. New families would come in, Lord, would receive the truth of your word, Lord, that souls would come into that knowledge of your saving grace, oh God. Lord, give us a compassion, Lord, for others, Lord. Give us a caring, Lord, for others. That, Lord, not only that we would feel bad, Lord, but that we would do something with that feeling of sympathy today, Lord. Father, those of us who maybe have become a little lackadaisical or just complacent, Lord, I pray right now by the Holy Spirit you would stir us up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Stir us up to be a doer, Lord, to be one who extends a helping hand, Lord, to those that are in need today, Father. Lord, let the anointing of Jesus be fresh upon us today, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you for your grace to us today, your love to us today, oh God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that this would be the beginning of something new here at Oriel, oh God. That, Lord, we just would begin to open our hearts and our minds and our spirit for what you want for us, Lord, today, God. Oh, Father, let, Lord, camaraderie build, Lord, even as we go downstairs now and have lunch one with another, Lord. Let the grace of God and the fellowship of your Spirit be so beautiful in our midst, Lord, today, that, God, you would just build the relationships that are here, Lord. The love that you have for us would just be extended one to another today, Lord. Bless, Lord God, the food that we have downstairs and all that we do today, Lord. Let you be glorified and honored here today and all the days of our life, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.